keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd. No, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you.
All right, welcome back to the Anti-Media, everybody. You're here with host LaVon. I missed you guys last week. So many people couldn't use their bodies in an ideal fashion, and I got stuck at my office. So I'm sorry. Anyhow, I'm so excited about tonight. We've got an hour full of super interesting, awesome things. I'm most excited to be joined by Morgan Rockwell, who's the CEO of a company called Bitcoin Kinetics. We're going to talk about Bitcoin and get a little lesson on what it is and how we can do it, and more importantly, why we should do it. Welcome, Morgan.
Hello.
Thank you so much. Again, I super appreciate your time.
I'm glad to be here and glad to be connected to the world, so thank you for having me.
Ah, my pleasure, my pleasure. So, we hope to accomplish a little 101 session here.
Okay.
Just
I'm
doing
good at those.
Perfect. So, tell us, what should we know about Bitcoin? First of all, why? What initiated you to become involved in Bitcoin?
Well, I've been asked that a few times. Let me try to answer it differently this time. I learned about Bitcoin in the Occupy Wall Street peak when hackers were using it to DDoS cops or dox cops or put out their information like they would, you know, this cop maced all those kids at that school and, you know, made a meme out of everything. And how do we get this cop? Well, send me 10,000 Bitcoin and I'm going to send 1,000 pizzas to his house. And that's the first time I ever saw Bitcoin being used, like, for hacking jobs, like, almost like a prank job. Like, there's sex toys being sent to cops because CryptoSexToys.com took the Bitcoin, and they would just send, like, toys to cops to make them look very bad. And so that was my first awareness of it. And I noticed, as a hacker myself, that these people were using money that I never knew of, and they were actually doing things that were, they were taking effort and time, and they could go to jail for doing for some type of money that I didn't even know of. And that was my first awareness of the Bitcoin. And I just didn't really have an understanding then that money was something that was killing us all. And I learned about Bitcoin's real power from, like, watching Max Kaiser on RT. And really the kind of fiery pirate-like energy of stopping the banks from killing us, and we should probably, like, burn the banks down. We should, like, buy gold and silver and Bitcoin because that's the best way to short their books because they don't really have any of the gold, silver, or Bitcoin. They just lie about it on paper. And if everyone buys some, their books are wrong and everyone will realize it and the banks go away. So I kind of realized, like, wow, this is an actual teeter-totter.
Action.
Put more money in this side, and it's going to cause something to happen. If you pay attention to this Bitcoin more than, say, the Federal Reserve dollar, it becomes more useful. And the Federal Reserve dollar is becoming less useful no matter how much you pay attention to it. So I just looked at the winning side, and I did just mathematics. 1 + 1 = 2, mm-hmm. and Bitcoin, 2. And when you see money on the other side, it's 1 + 1 = 5. And I realized that there's only one money on Earth that's actually legit, and one public ledger board on Earth that's legit, one payment network on Earth that's legit, and no one controls it, which is called Bitcoin.
Mm.
And I jumped into it because I saw it as fire. Like, you know, lightning struck a piece of wood, a caveman picked up fire, and he went and burned the deer. But I'm the guy in the back of the room that saw this fire and said, I'm going to go build a stove, a rock, and a flamethrower, and things that can use fire for better utility. Like, fire is great, but there's so much that it could be used for. Mm. Bitcoin is great.
You're giving me chills.
It's just kind of not used very much right now. And so what I do with Bitcoin Kinetics is we make it talk to machines so that people can use it in the real world. And that was my motivation for even getting involved in Bitcoin, because I was always a business person. I wanted to start a business my whole life, but there was never any fuel. There was never any product that would be good that wouldn't hurt people or the world. And I just didn't have motivation to make crap and sell people crap and sell people wrong lies. So I just kind of sat aside and gave up on society. And then Bitcoin dropped in my lap, and it kind of motivated me to regain all of my business awareness and my skills and try to, like, help people with the Bitcoin and cook their food and and launch themselves into space and, you know, like, light up the night with it. Because it's very much like the horse, like the wheel, like, it's a epitome of human advancement. Now everything's on the blockchain. Everything you do on Bitcoin is on the blockchain, the public ledger. Well, eventually, everything we do, from voting to talking, will be on the blockchain instead of on Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook network or on Verizon's cell phone network. It will be on a decentralized, no one controls it, everyone's getting paid to maintain it network. And so Bitcoin's like this first app on top of the Bitcoin network. So I know that probably most of your listeners know about it as money. But money is just the first application we're running on the Bitcoin network. And it pretty much is the first thing that says who owns what, the blockchain. And we want to move the money from me to you, so now you own the money. But eventually, I could put my private keys to my self-driving car on there, or my mortgage, the keys to my house, and I could transfer you title to my property or ownership of my car, and now your Bluetooth key in your phone starts the car.
Mm.
So the blockchain network is the first public ledger, the first asset ledger that's for the public. So there's asset ledgers out there in banks and companies and even schools. You know, they own this many pencils and this many chairs. But so it's the first time we have an asset ledger on the internet, a tally stick that everyone can change, add to and take from. But every time you add to or take from the tally stick, the blockchain of the internet, everyone's wallet has a copy of the tally stick. It's the first time that the entire transaction history, the entire blockchain, is downloaded on one device. So effectively, you will have the entire Library of Alexandria, the entire history of all votes and all transactions right there on your phone to pretty much make sure it's legit, so no one can lie about the money and lie about the votes and lie about the history. And Bitcoin is the epitome of that. It's like fire. Well, what are we years from now? Like, oh my god, we're going to use fire for so much than just burning deer.
And this is the thing that excites me the most. You keep coming back to the fact that it's decentralized and that it's open source. It's for everyone. That's what it's all about.
Can you hear me?
You cut out right after your the last fire speech.
Oh,
hold on.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Let me reconnect us to the show, okay?
Okay.
Hold on. I have to call UCY here again. Make sure that we're live. Sometimes this happens.
I know how Skype works.
Yeah, Condoleezza Rice. She's our homegirl right now.
Yeah. I don't know if it's her sister or cousin, but we also have Mrs. Rice as the UN ambassador.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I thought it was the same. Hold on a second here. I'm going to call you right back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, everybody, we're back. My computer just went blank on me. Now we're here with Morgan again via cell phone. I hope this call sounds a little better. So you were just getting to the juicy part, Morgan. You were talking about how Bitcoin is fire, and what are we going to do with fire? And I mentioned that the best part is that it's decentralized. So where do you see that taking us, and how do you plan to teach people how to utilize it? I also need some internet that's not going to... Hey guys, you're here with LaVon. I apologize. I keep losing my call. We spoke with Morgan Rockwell earlier about Bitcoin, and we kept losing our connection, but I'll give you an overview of what he said, and he promised to be back next week, which is exciting. The biggest and most exciting aspect of Bitcoin is that it decentralizes the big currency that exists. It's owned by everyone, and transactions occur person to person. So there's no bank or clearinghouse, there's no account holding, there's no prerequisites, there are no limits. Bitcoin inspired Morgan because he saw it as a caveman would see fire. He saw an opportunity in an application that would support a world that he thought was more ideal. What surprised me about Morgan is that he says he had given up on society and that all of his motivation to start a business and help people dissipated because he didn't want to support a world that created stuff, and he wanted to create good energy, and he wanted to be on the winning side, he said. And he realized that Bitcoin was an earthly currency that is legitimate because no one can control it. And he saw that it was motivated by love and truth, and that sparked a fire within him. So he's using all of his skills in business and communication, and as well as creative. He's an engineer, so he's creating machines that can process Bitcoin. And he tells me that most people are aware of its current application, which is currency, but it's actually a platform which can run a lot of different networks. Things like keys, believe it or not, to your car, or the title to your house, or the title to your car. And he says that it's the first asset ledger that can exist globally. And it'll be on the internet, and it'll be real time. And anytime and you add or take away from it, everybody's wallet has a hard copy. So effectively, this is the coolest part, we would have a history of everything that ever occurred. And his main point tonight was that there's no lying, there's no corruption that can transpire in any kind of transaction that we have that needs to be legitimate. So ponder that and be excited with us. Morgan's going to check back with us next week and give us an update. He's got a lot of people who are interested in what he's doing right now, and I can foresee him doing amazing things. I'm hoping to have Morgan help me create my own cryptocurrency for Love on Foods, which is a project that I'm working on. You can check that out if you'd like. It's love-on-foods.com, and you can read about what I'm hoping to achieve. I basically want to inspire people to grow food everywhere because, like Morgan, I'm inspired by this notion that, and I see its application and how it can solve a lot of other problems. And I just want everyone to be their best, just like Morgan does. So I'd like to create a cryptocurrency that is value, it has value to, like, equivalent to vegetables. So time equals Bitcoin, Bitcoin equals vegetables. See where I'm going? And that's the future, you guys. It's decentralized, and it's moldable. My brain can't even compute words because I'm pondering all the applications, and it's amazing. So look forward to next week. We'll have Morgan back on with us to tell us more about what he's working on. And more in the news for this week. We're expecting a new moon on the 26th. This is important whether or not you pay attention to the planetary positions, and have you ever pondered how they may affect you? I used a metaphor earlier when I thought I was talking to you guys, but I was talking to nobody, to compare the ocean to you. And just like the planets have a profound effect on the ocean and how everything affects one another, just like the fish inside the ocean, either contribute a lot of waste or not a lot, or they create movement, which creates a big wave or a small wave. Everything in our existence is kinetic. Action does equal reaction. And I found interest today in an article by a lady of the name of Julia Griffin. She is an intuitive healer and owner of One True Self. This is pretty interesting. She began her work 15 years ago with wolves. Wolves taught her that true energetic motion is based on the soul and patterns of nature. Following their direction, Julia sees and reads energy, including animals, plants, and people. She works with people in session to find their resonance with the soul, clearing patterns in alignment with their inner path. You can read more about what she does at onetruthself.com. Pretty interesting. This was shared with me by Simone, who is typically my co-host, but she has been taking some time off. Again, this is by Julia Green, and she published this on the 21st, called Planets on the Move. The planets will move powerfully together around the new moon on July 26th. Mars, which rules energy, is moving into Scorpio and will make powerful angles with Sun and Jupiter, while Venus and Pluto move into opposition. A great deal of energy is gathering, and its focus is on power. In spirituality, power is about harnessing the aspects of the inner self, and astrology tells us where and sometimes how we will feel the energy most. The squares between the Sun, Mars, and Jupiter will create energy and pressure. Venus and Pluto will pull up information about relationships, finances, and desires. There's no doubt about it. We'll feel the pressure. The planets are asking us about what we truly want and the direction we'll take. There's also emphasis on how we want our relationships to play out. Do we want to struggle with old agreements and soul contracts? Look that up. Or create something better? How can we use our power to create a more fulfilling life? Pressure isn't always bad. It can push us in new directions. It can bring about completion of projects, take us down a new road, or help us in discovering aspects of the self. It can also show us the imbalance of power in our lives and teach us more about how we truly want to live. Where there is pain, conflict, or low vibrations, it indicates a need for change. It shows us where we need more energy or need to change our lives. Mastering ourselves and our reactions in relationships is a part of power. Saturn, which affects karma, time, and limitations, according to her, is moving direct, which should help move projects into fruition and or move us through the slowness of blocks during the first 6 months of the year. Planets placed in Leo, including the Sun, will heighten drama, emotion, and issues with relationships. So think before you speak. On the brighter side, fire signs such as Leo are creative and helpful in finding new solutions and forging new pathways. In short, everything around the new moon is about heightened emotions, moving through karma, leaning on creativity, and finding the power to move through it. A great deal of life has to do with what we think about it and how we make it useful in our lives. True power comes from our connection with the universe. When we connect to the all, it flows through us. We find the directions of our soul and let go of the rest. Life becomes clearer, and we move more into love. When we feel the power of a higher vibration, it is also necessary to choose the right activities and direction for the energy's flow. She continues here with a few tips. There are just four here. She says, it's helpful to think over the times when you felt powerful or experienced the flow. I like that she calls it the flow. What happened? How did you feel? How did you use your energy or resources? If you were fully connected now, what would you do or change? What is an incredible outcome in your life? What is freedom to you? How do you feel when you are anchored in love and power? How does one flow into the other? Are you willing to harness love and power to create something new and wonderful without knowing what it is or might become? So, that's interesting. And I encourage you to ponder how that applies to you. And if you look up online, phases of the moon, I encourage you, here we go, phases of the moon, you can see that it's obviously always in motion, and it's interesting to pay attention to the phases of the moon and in relation to you and how it may affect you. There are a lot of different things that people do during a new moon. A lot of my gardening friends plant new seeds and have ceremonies because it's the best time to plant. And there's also a whole gardening technique moon planting with the moon to be most effective. So I encourage you on this segment that I like to call objective perspective is just to apply that to your life, maybe just for this hour. And consider some of the things we talked about. We talked about fairly unknown cryptocurrency that has the potential to essentially rewrite our entire society and enslave the population from one bank ruling. Whew, no joke. It's kind of awesome, but it's new and it's atypical and people aren't aware of it. So they're gonna write it off and they're not going to want to listen when they hear something about it. But if anything sparked your passion, the fire within you this evening, just do a little research about Bitcoin. And perhaps you'll feel the fire that CEO of Bitcoin Kinetics felt, Mr. Morgan Rockwell. He joined us for a little while, and he gave us a first little section of what I hope to become Bitcoin 101. He just only had 20 minutes this evening because he was approached by a fella who wants to take the application and start. I can't even fathom what he wants to do with it, but Morgan was talking about how the future is that it's a legitimate decentralized network that essentially is an application to run anything. So who knows what we can do. I talked to you guys a little bit about the moon and how it affects us, and I encourage you to look up some gardening techniques that are related to moon cycles. There's also some rituals that a lot of people in the holistic network partake in during this time. Things to help cleanse the body and encourage empowerment. There's something that interests me called the new moon manifestation ceremony. And it's a birthing cycle. And it's a good time to attract heartfelt longings into your material world. And this is a good time because it's an optimal time for planting seeds, right? That includes your intentions. Just as seedlings need period time for gestation before they reach through the soil for the sun, it's a good time for you to cultivate things in your lives, including your ideas and your visions. You want to make them a tangible aspect in your reality. So the dark side of the moon, it's mysterious, right? And it offers a nurturing environment where intentions can establish roots before the miraculous manifestations begin to sprout. So, moon ritual for birthing your wishes and desires, this is according to healing.com, begin by setting aside a few minutes each month during the new moon phase to focus your wishes. This will help you give clarity. This will help give you clarity of mind and fill your heart with promise. When it comes to setting goals or planning ahead for your future, there is no better time than during the new moon. Any intentions or stated or written down also carries power. So please take care and consideration of those things that you truly want. The saying, be careful what you ask for, just might get it, is fair warning, whenever setting your new moon intentions into motion. But no worries. The moon has its phases, and so do our individual wants and needs. This is why it's a good practice to re-edit your list of intentions each month when another new moon cycle returns. So you can check out a moon phase calendar to see when the moon cycles occur. I just got It's like the best night ever to have a radio show. So, Chris from The Artful Activist is trying to come online with us. And give me just a second while we try and connect that call. They're a group here in San Diego. They're doing a lot of awesome things in the city. Hey guys, it's LaVon. This is unreal. I can't believe how many times I've been kicked off the air this evening. This never happened to me. I super apologize. Thank you guys for hanging out. I tried to have the most awesome show ever. Right now we're trying to connect with Chris, who is part of the Artful Activist, and they're a group here in San Diego. And they're working on a lot of things, including the Robin Hood tax, which is an important thing occurring right now. And I want you guys to hear what he has to say. So I'm hoping to connect him. So something happened to my computer. It just went black on me, segment with, are you there? Chris, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I feel like a freaking rock star. My computer died on me in the middle of my show, like 30 times. So now I'm holding two cell phones, one with Skype for the radio, and then the other with you on speaker so we can all hear each other. Aren't I smart?
Nice. I love it.
So
making it work with all the trouble. I love it.
I'm trying to do my best. So I've been talking you up a little here, giving everyone a little preview of the group, The Artful Activist, that is kind of your brainchild, right?
Actually, my backbone campaign up in Seattle.
Okay, but you're taking action in the city, and you've been having a lot of specific things that you're participating in recently, and currently you're working on
the Robin Hood
tax. So can you tell people just a little bit about that, and perhaps why they should look into it, and then tell them what you're doing in the city and invite them out, man. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, Robinhood tax is a tax that's only for Wall Street transactions. It's only for when they move money, which is moving paper. They don't really get any tax on it. And it's a very small tax. It's actually 50 cents for every $100 that they actually move, which is not an effective tax. It's only 0.5%. So therefore, I mean, touching Wall Street seems like something that should have been done a long time ago, saying that in 08, we dealt them out with $1.5 trillion of taxpayers' dollars. So, you know, they should try to get back to make sure that doesn't happen again. It's only logic. It just makes sense. Now everybody's like, well, what's the money going to be used for? Well, it's going to be used to actually work on paying off student debt and actually working on the infrastructure of this country. Our bridges are falling apart. Our school systems are in shambles. And Wall Street just sits there and laughs, pretty much. They need the educated workers, but they want us to be the ones that actually take on the burden of everything in society. And they get no burden whatsoever except for the profit.
That's not fair. And that's why I wanted to have you and Morgan on tonight. I had a guy on a few minutes ago who specializes in Bitcoin, and he likes it because it's decentralized currency. And until we can have this new paradigm to exist in, I think taxing Wall Street is a beautiful idea.
Well, yeah, because until we actually figure out how to make it so their money isn't controlling the world, we've lost. I mean, so, yeah, the Bitcoin replacing their currency with an alternative currency is something that every community should be looking into. If you actually care about your community, you should start looking at using something that the central banking industry is not using. Because they don't care about community, they only care about profit. That's very evident by how many homeless we have in this country now, how many foreclosed homes have happened in the last 5 years in this country. It's all for profit. Human beings do not matter anymore.
Exactly. I don't want my child to grow up in a world living in debt. Like, that's not healthy in any manner. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, consciously, it's not how we're supposed to exist. So,
No parent wants that for their child. That's why the actions that we can do with our black business, it actually attracts children. Then you actually get to talk to the parents about the issues that the children are going to be facing in the near future. So it really gets them to actually be connected with it somehow, too. Plus, the kids get to have fun. The kids get to go away and leave with a smile, and the parents get to leave a little bit more educated.
And I love the energy. I love the energy that you bring to events, Chris. My son was in all the marches against Monsanto, and I know that he bumped into you a few times. And you really motivate the youth to understand what's occurring in the real world in a non-scary way. And as a parent, I appreciate that because my son knows about Monsanto and he knows their agenda and he goes around telling people.
I mean, the kids are our future, as always. And I mean, I connect to the kids because I've been doing this nonstop since Occupy started as a full-time, I guess, volunteer-based system. And now before that, I just minor activism and stuff like that, but now it's completely in my blood. I stopped doing it. And I do it because every time I walk down the street and I see a baby carriage being pushed down the street, I just live with myself if I don't start fixing the problem. Because if somebody doesn't start doing it, then who's going to?
I love that. We're all somebody, right?
Yeah. Don't think your voice doesn't matter.
Because it does.
Everybody's voice matters. Don't believe their lies. They want you to feel less to the less of a human being every day. Every day. Unbelievable.
Humans are powerful. Humans are freaking amazing.
We
forgot how to being.
Yeah. To be human and love, you can be anything.
It's true.
I mean, you see the kids smiling when you actually see parents thinking. Where before, at rallies and at marches, and when we walk by and we hand them literature, they don't think. They look at the literature, they put it in their pocket, they go home and throw it in the trash.
Exactly. You have engaging things for the public. So tell us a little preview. What is to be expected this weekend in San Diego, downtown?
We're at Comic-Con. The Hollywood Central Comic Book Display of, I guess, the world.
Right.
That's insane. Everybody's in costumes down there, so even doing street theater alone will not attract attention because you look like everybody else. So we've gone a little bit above and beyond. I mean, we've made a chariot that we're pulling bankers around to. We're going to go up to Wells Fargo's. We've been trying to attract the Comic-Con people who moved to the protest, actually into going with us to these banks, to actually say to these banks, hey, it's got to stop. This is not right. Everything's got to stop now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Then. If we don't care if you want to capitalize a little bit, okay, when you're capitalizing with our children's future, that's when the parents are going to stand up.
Exactly.
And we got our little plush tank, portable plusher that we made a couple weeks ago, broke out, which is a lot of fun. Everybody here is actually playing with it, and it's so quick that we're running out of water, and we have to steal it from the city fountains and stuff to make it so we can keep flushing Wall Street. It's fun. You hit the target, and the toilet dumps water all over whoever's standing inside, dressed up like the banker of Wall Street CEO. And a couple weeks ago, we did the politician. Now we're doing Wall Street. Who knows what was next? I mean, we got peace coming up in March. Sure enough. We'll find sure. So, it's just something, it's interaction that people can deal with you. When you get human interaction.
You're building a community.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
That's for you. I appreciate you, and I love you, and I just thank you for practicing culture this weekend.